The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
Sleep those sheets. Get on your feet.
The players on the Royals literally hated the Yankees. The players on the Yankees literally hated the Kansas City Royals.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Gordon dives, and yes, he made that catch. A tremendous catch that robbed Chicago of two runs by the Gold Glover Alex Gordon.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
Signing Bubba Starling is great, great news for our city and the team. It really is.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Welcome in, folks. Good evening and happy Thursday evening to you. It's an absolutely gorgeous night outside here in Kansas City. The Royals have won yet another road trip, and George Brett's dog is safely back in his Mission Hills or wherever George Brett lives, estates. So welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Chris Kamler, joined here by a full house of folks. We've got Troy Olson, Michael Engel, Jeff Logan, and Jeff Herr. It's a big week for the folks of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Jeff Logan, why don't you tell us a little bit about everything that's going on?
We got nothing.
Nothing. No.
Well, nothing. You know, it's that time. I guess it's baseball season, and you know, it's our time now.
We've it is taken our time. Over. I've heard that. Yes,
we've taken over with our time, and
finally,
yeah, somebody's got to step up and grab that our time now, and that's us. And of course, we're doing a little event with the Royals Saturday, where we help bring in a few players and honor the A's. I think it's the A's tribute night, but of course, our big event is the banquet coming up on the 8th at the Marriott. There's still tickets available. Just give us a call. You can go to the website and look that up. And then the next night the next day and night, we have events going on all day on a Saturday with the T-Bones for the reunion for the Kansas City Athletics.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Who's scheduled to appear, some of the bigger names?
We got Blue Moon Odom this year, and Norm Seaburn, and Jerry Lumpy, and Lou Krause, of course, is one of our great supporters. Tommy Reynolds, Skip Lockwood, Jim Gentile, just 32 guys, bunch of great guys.
Only 32 guys, huh?
That's 32 that's guys.
Awesome. That's a lot of fellas to wrangle around for a weekend.
We have great wranglers.
Great wranglers. They have been wrangled. If you want more information about those events, you can go to KansasCityBaseballHistoricalSociety.com. Yes, all of those words and all of those letters, .com. They will tell you everything that's going on. You can also keep in touch with them on Facebook. Just search for Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. That's a great Facebook page. It's got a lot of cool old pictures on there, and it's very, very neat.
Well, you know, now when you can just type in Kansas City Baseball in Google, and we're about the third search.
You're either going to hit them, you're going to hit the Kansas City Baseball Vault, or at Kansas City Baseball, at KC Baseball Vault on Twitter. That's a good way to keep up with all of us. So that sounds like a lot of fun, man. That's great. And stay tuned. Here in just a couple minutes, we are going to have a super awesome, probably the best prize we've had as long as we've been podcasting and doing the radio show, for sure. So stay tuned for just a few minutes. We will have a couple of really, really neat tickets to the Royals game on Saturday. So stay tuned. Michael Engel, what on earth is going on in the world of baseball in Kansas City this week?
Well, in Kansas City, overall, we've got the T-Bones. They rebounded after their rough start last week. They actually won 5 in a row after we were talking about them. So that's a good rebound for them to come back after starting 2-5. They're now 7-6 overall. They went 5-1 last week. The Royals, like you said, they came back. They had a good road trip, and you know, they're coming back home. Hopefully, they're going to be able to win this next game. They are, I believe, 0-6 after an off day. So I don't know what's behind that, if it's just a fluke, if it's just one of those things. We get to find out tomorrow as the Royals are going to be taking on Oakland for a three-game series. We get Felipe Paulino on the mound, and he's pitched very well so far early on since coming back from the DL, so that's encouraging. That's the big part for Kansas City. Then the minor leagues, they've gone through and you know, a lot of the teams are kind of going 2-4, 3-3, whatnot.
Michael, how big of a series is this for the Royals coming home?
Well, they've only won 5 games at home. They're one of the top teams. They're actually tied for the major league lead in road wins. I think they're 3rd overall in record. If they can win some home games, they might be able to make some ground up. The Tigers were the overall favorite going into the season for the AL Central. The Royals are only a game and a half behind them. Detroit's 23-27. You know, Cleveland has kind of faltered a little bit. Chicago's been hot, but the Royals right now, they're 7 games under 500. They're 7 games out of first place. If they can have a good homestand, you know, that puts them to where you almost don't have to worry about that 12-game losing streak early on. They've, you know, they had their first win in May since the year 2000, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So, and it's the first time they won 15 games in May since 1996. So there are some listeners that may not have even been around that at that point.
But aren't we also 3 or 4 games underneath the pace we had set last year? Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're behind. I mean, that 12-game losing streak.
What have we not said that?
Really hurts. I think we're on pace for 69 wins. So that's not
enough.
That's not ideal, but you know it's trending the right way at least. And a couple players, you know, Eric Hosmer. You know, it's June 1st tomorrow, and he's over 200. So
that's right. We did last week. Yeah, we talked about that. Little, we'll call it the Michael Engel Mendoza line.
Right. So he's going the right way. The pitching's looking better. The bullpen's been fantastic. So things are looking good.
Did you like how he just slid that in there too? He wasn't gonna let us off
the
hook.
I know. If he can control his staff, I think we'd be just fine. But well, that's great. How's the minor leagues doing, sir?
Well, Omaha is still in first place, thankfully. They've managed to get, they went 3-3 this week. They're in first place by 6 games. You know, Will Myers, he ran into a little slump. Obviously, this is his first few weeks in AAA. He went through a 1-15 stretch, but since in the last 2 games, he went 3-4, and then he went 1-4. So he's been doing very well. Unieski Betancourt is in Omaha. He's doing a rehab assignment down there, so he's helping the Storm Chasers. But they're in first place. The Naturals, they're 3 games behind Tulsa. They went 2-4 last week. They're going to have to find a way to replace Jake Odorizzi and Will Myers, which is definitely not easy. Wilmington went 2-4, and we talked to John Sadak from the Blue Rocks last week. So they're 4.5 games behind Lynchburg in second place. Kane County went 4-3. They're in third place, and they're 6 games behind Wisconsin. You know, a couple of standout players. Jason Adam, we talked about him last week. He's 1-8 on the year, but he has a 3.71 ERA, and you know he's got his strikeout to walk ratio is about 3.5-1. So he's doing his part. He's like we talked about last week. He's not getting a lot of run support, but he's pitching well. And he's pitching well at an advanced level for his age. Jorge Bonifacio, one of the high risers in the Royal system, I believe he hit a grand slam the other night, and he's hitting 319, 378, and 462 on the year. So he's having a great year. He's probably going to be up in Wilmington pretty soon. He's ready to take that next step. So a couple of good performers in the lower levels. It's just kind of waiting for these guys to trickle up. The other big thing is the draft is coming up. I believe that's on the 5th of June. The Royals have the 5th pick, so we'll see who they pick to supplement what they already have in the farm system.
Awesome. Is it Lane Adams? Who do we have on the show?
Jason.
Sunday? Jason Adam.
If you guys don't follow Jason on Twitter, it's Jason_Adam9. It's Adam singular, not Adams. He's a class act, and he's been a friend of our programs, especially the Royal Man Report, since the beginning. And he's going to be on with us again this Sunday. He's going to talk about Wilmington, obviously, about his year. He's also going to talk – we're going to ask him some questions about Twitter because he is so Twitter-heavy and the whole Danny Duffy thing and see if we can get an opinion from him on that. And then he's also really, really good friends with Bubba Starling. They kind of grew up together. They're only a couple years apart. Jason's only 20 years old. I forget that sometimes. I ask him if he goes out drinking or anything, and he's like, I'm 20. And so – He'll be on with us, but he's going to also talk about Bubba Starling. He's going to give us some insight on them, because we were going to get Bubba Starling on, but either Bubba or his agent will not. They don't want to take any interviews. They just want to focus on baseball. That's what I was told. So
right.
You just have to follow Bubba's Twitter, where he's all over the Arizona countryside, I guess.
That's awesome. Thanks, Troy. And that's on the Royal Man Report this Sunday at 7 o'clock. Big props and thanks out to George Toma and John Sadak last week. So we went through the entire show, pronounces his name wrong. Is that right, Engel?
Yeah, we did. And he checked in with me, and you know, he was a good sport about it. You know, he was like, "It's pronounced Sadak, like Sajak, except I don't get the gorgeous letter turning Vanna White." So,
oh man,
I told him I'd look into it to see if I could, you know, help him out with that, get someone to help, you know, follow him around on the road. And
we can send Troy.
Well, I thought you guys were talking about George for a minute.
No, so, not George. You know. That'd be kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
And George was awesome. That was great. No. I played the piece for my dad, and he got a big kick out of that. So, big fan of George Toma. On the show today, we are going to talk to Rene Latchman from. Actually, he played for the Kansas City A's in 65 and 66. He was a backup catcher for them. You also may know him. He was the very first manager of the Florida Marlins, and he is now a AAA hitting coach for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. So we'll have plenty to talk about them with him here in a few minutes after our first break. The Sky Sox had 27 hits in their game last night. So, you know, hey, that's clearly because of his hitting coach
prowess.
He's
probably feeling pretty good today.
Absolutely. So listen up here, folks. We are going to have a very, very special giveaway. We're going to have two giveaways tonight. First giveaway is going to be here in a second, and the second giveaway is going to be in the second half of the show. The second half giveaway is going to be T-Bones tickets, but this first giveaway is going to be a trivia question, and you're going to need to call in, grab a pencil. You're going to need to call us in. The first caller with one of the correct answers at 913-491-8255 will get two sweet passes to Saturday's Royals A's game, along with a parking pass. Is that
reserve
parking pass? And that's courtesy of the Kansas City free food, free drink, free baseball, free parking, courtesy of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Again, the phone number is 913-491-8255, and you need to have the correct answer, one of the following two people, to this trivia question. This was given to us by our sound engineer extraordinaire, Shane. Brett Saberhagen was one of three major leaguers, to have a no-hitter, a Cy Young, and a World Series MVP on their resume. Can you name for me one of the other two people? Again, Brett Saberhagen was one of three pitchers to have a no-hitter, a Cy Young, and a World Series MVP on his resume. Tell me one of the other two pitchers at 913-491-8255. The first person to call in and get the correct answer. You just have to give me one of the two. You get sweet passes to the Royals, and the phones have now become ringing off the hook. So, fellas, while we're getting an answer to the trivia question this weekend against the A's, how did we do last time when we were out there in Oakland?
We didn't do very well.
Yeah.
And Tommy Malone shut us out. You know, we didn't do very well at all. It's one of those guys that just, you know, baffle the Royals.
That's right. What do you got, Shane?
Still open.
All right.
Two incorrect answers.
Brett Saberhagen was one of three major league pitchers to have a no-hitter, a Cy Young, and a World Series MVP.
Don't feel bad about incorrect answers.
Yeah, Jeff got it wrong, too.
Before Michael Engel, and they asked me the question. I'm racking my brain trying to figure this out for 5 minutes, and Engel comes in. And
but
just,
it can't be a super easy question, because these are pretty.
Right, like that.
These are pretty. I mean, sweet. Pardon the pun. Tickets.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
First per. Yeah, and we're gonna take a break here in just a couple of minutes. Again, call us at 913-491-8255 with one of the following two folks other than Brett Saberhagen to throw a no hitter, have a Cy Young, and a World Series MVP, and you are going to the Royals game on Saturday, sitting in a suite, drinking booze, eating food, and we are going to be right back just in a couple minutes.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
I'm saying the latest.
The Vault.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, it wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go to see a Royals game.
Wow.
That's sick. That's mentally off reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
T-Bones Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcons skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
Don't miss the home opener Thursday, May 17th with free T-Bones t-shirts for the first 2,000 fans and dollar beers all night long. Tickets on sale now as the T-Bones begin the season with a 7-game homestand May 17th to the 23rd. And don't miss the free T-Bone Stadium Art Canvas giveaway May 22nd. First pitch, 7:05.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Hold your calls. We have a winner. Our good friend D.B. Leske, David Leske from PineTarPress.com, called in and knew that Sandy Koufax was one of three gentlemen that has pitched a no-hitter, gotten a Cy Young, and received a World Series MVP. The other one, of course, Bob Gibson. So that's pretty high praise when you can be one of those three fellas. That's not bad. And high praise for David Leske because he's kind of, you know, a stud on Twitter and the internet. So Leske, you're going to the game Saturday, courtesy of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. You do need to call Jeff Logan here and hook up with him for those tickets, but you're drinking on us on Saturday, so good for you, and mind your P's and Q's out there, because I know how you get.
Now, David, I got some bad news for you, though. You realize you got to hang out with myself and Chris Kamler. So
yeah, that's true. Well, no, I'm not going to be there, but I'll be there.
So he's got something to look forward to.
Right.
There you go. You guys can all sit in the corner and talk about your rotisserie teams if you want.
Trust me, nothing's cooler than hanging out with me at a Royals game for a few hours. I might even keep score if that tells you how crazy things get.
That's going to get wild.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That's how I roll. That's how I do things.
Back to the Oakland series. One thing we were going to mention on the first side and ran out of time there was that Oakland series, if you don't remember, and somehow maybe you've just put it out of your mind because it hurts too much to think about it.
Judging by the attendance, you haven't.
Right. That was the series that that we started the 12-game losing streak, or the Royals started the 12-game losing streak.
So Broxton blew that save and hit those two guys in a row to start that losing streak. That was in Oakland.
That was in Oakland.
Oh, I agree.
So let's hope that they can get right now. And,
hey, and the other thing we need to talk about at some point, I don't know if we've got it in the sheet for later, but Chris Perez. What a ding-dong that guy is.
That's in the sheet for later.
Is it in the sheet for later? Okay, we'll make sure to talk about that. But
that's what we call a tease.
Goes out and taunts everybody on the mound, taunts everybody on Twitter, and then just completely, yeah, it's like, I can't see you. Well, I can't see you winning either because we beat you the last few games.
You got to give anybody credit that strikes out Jerod Dyson.
Well, yeah.
Big props to that.
Well...
But that guy, you know, that's... Oh, and so then on Twitter, a lot of us, you know, because we're childish and four, we, you know, it's like, oh, Chris Perez is a jerk and whatever. So he ends up blocking all of us. So he can't... He literally can't see us on Twitter either.
So he really is just a jerk.
He's just a jerk.
That's actually what he was motioning on that page.
He was like, I can't see you on Twitter.
Can't wait to block all you guys later.
Was that not the last series that Kane played in too? Was the Oakland series out there? So we haven't had Kane since that series. When are we getting some of our guys back?
Kane is not even on a rehab assignment yet, is he?
No, he was. He was in Northwest Arkansas, and he re-aggravated it. They re-examined him, and what they thought was a strained groin ended up being a hip flexor. So he's in Arizona. So he's kind of doing some extended spring training stuff and getting himself right.
Will Myers, come on down. You're the next contestant on the revolving door from Kansas City to Omaha.
You know, you kind of make a joke there, but that, I mean, that actually could be a realistic possibility. I would be fine with that. Because with, you know, Lorenzo Cain being gone and Jeff Francoeur. I mean, he's starting to heat up a little bit, but the majority of the year he's been struggling. So, I mean, there's a legitimate possibility here that we could see Will Myers within the next 6 weeks to a month.
Well, let's, I would say maybe right after the All-Star break, but yeah, I totally agree. I guess that is within six to eight weeks.
Yeah.
It's from the accountant. Thank you.
Like
that is,
I said.
That is technically within 6 weeks, yes.
So, well, let's look at it this way. You know, this team loves to trade these veteran players for low-level minor leaguers, and it'd be interesting to see if Francoeur can get hot, if they would actually pull the trigger on him, because him and Dayton Moore are bestest buds, so I don't know. That one would be a little harder for Dayton to pull, I think. But, you know, we could definitely trade him for a guy that we're going to mention to Renee here a little bit, is Tyler Pasnak. He's a Rockies high pitcher down in Modesto. He's just striking everybody out. 66 strikeouts in 58 innings and a 2.5 ERA. You know, that's the kind of guy that could definitely fit in our system if you could get somebody that good for a guy like
Francoeur. We're going to talk to Renee to talk about the old days. We're not working up trades for Dayton Moore. We're not his lackeys. You realize that, right?
It would be good to see if he knows anything about these guys and what his opinions on them are.
I think that's a great idea. I say we should work everyone we
work
get in.
Out.
You know, if we can work out the trade right here, let's do it.
I like it. That's great.
You know, since we have a minute here, let's get some roundtable opinions on this, because everybody's talking about it. Well, a lot of people are talking about it on Twitter. I've seen the last few weeks. Mookie Cabrera is having a career year after his career year. Does anybody at this table feel that was a bad deal? I mean, in retrospect?
No.
I always like to look at deals and say, look at them at the time that they were made. At the time that it was made, I was completely on board. You can look. I still don't think it's a bad deal. If it turns out to not work out in our favor, tough luck for us. I mean, we're the Royals. That kind of happens. But no, I did not think that was a bad deal.
Okay, I'm the guy that's going to say it was horrible. You know, it was a horrible trade. Knowing what we did with Sanchez, and he's always been, you know, kind of in and out, and we know what we had.
We had a 220 career hitter.
Microphone.
Yeah, it's just like what Jeff Hurst said.
Radio 101.
Mike and I are sharing a microphone, and I'm not used to sharing a microphone, so I just kind of turned and blurted out of my mouth and didn't have the mic in front of me. But I'm sure everybody heard me anyways. So
yeah, pretty much. That's true.
But a guy in his prime of his career, 28 years old. You know,
he was
Cabrera
only 28.
He's 28.
Yeah. I don't even think he was that old. I think he was like 27.
He's actually they were all 27. Younger than Gordon. He's younger than Alex Gordon.
So. I mean, his history before last season, he wasn't actually. If you look at his history, his stats, he's not much different than Alex Gordon, and
he was very average. But he was hyped because he was a Yankee in a lot of ways. You know, at the time, I can't blame them for making that deal. They tried to sell high, and you know they were wrong. I don't know what's gotten into Melky, but he's hitting everything. He actually. In May, he
373 right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Given what information they had, I think they thought they were selling high. It looks awful now, especially with Sanchez struggling and being injured. But it also at the time it opened up an opportunity for them to get Lorenzo Cain in center field, which they felt that he could be the everyday center fielder. So they were actually kind of staying at the same level at center, plus adding a pitcher that if he were able to turn it on. Would have been a high upside guy. Now, at this point, you know, obviously that hasn't worked out. And maybe they would have been better off trading Jeff Francoeur and keeping Melky and moving Melky to right field. You know, it's a lot of hindsight. So,
and that's how I tried to look at it too, where it wasn't necessarily just Melky for Sanchez. It was more of a Melky for Sanchez, but you also have to factor in Cain in the deal. So it's like, if could Lorenzo Cain and Jonathan Sanchez have been brought us more than what Melky Cabrera did, and I think they definitely, at the time at least, I definitely think thought that they could have. I mean, Sanchez is just off the rails at this point. So.
Well, and we don't know the rest of the trade either. Ryan Verdugo is part of that deal. He may come up and be, he won't ever be a frontline starter.
They people like him. So,
but if he came up and be a three starter or even a four starter, would you really be too upset about hitting a guy that had one great year and you ended up getting a guy that really does fill in your rotation.
Especially because we thought he'd be a reliever when we got him. You know, he's always been a starter, but we figured just, you know, all the pundits and whoever would said he pretty much factored in as a reliever. So,
how many really good years did Gordon have before last year?
None.
There you go. It was good. You know, and we were willing to, you know, sell the farm to get him into a long-term contract, an older guy than Cabrera. And how many great years did Kane have in the major leagues?
Well, no, that's a valid point. The only thing I'll say to that, though, is that Gordon didn't have the problems that Melky Cabrera had, the kind of off-the-field issues of questions of motivation and weight control issues and things like that. And that makes it easier. If you know someone like Alex Gordon, who's always been a hard worker, who's always had his head down and not had any issues, if you know he's worth that much, then it makes it easier to pay that, you know, without having to lose it, kind of like that. Whereas Melky Cabrera, he might lose what he had just because he eats his way out of it to lose it. So there's those are the kind of small issues that you might that I think maybe contributed to that a little bit more. But it's still a very valid point because their careers are very similar.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a guest here in just a second, but then we're gonna have a bone to pick with our trivia question questioner Shane, because I think he got forgot Randy Johnson in our list of folks. So we'll get to him just in a second. As we're getting Renee Latchman on here in just a second, but yeah, no, that's valid. I don't know. I tend to agree with Jeff Herr. At the time, I think it was an okay trade. Certainly, nobody expected him to do what he did, what he's doing this year. I mean, they're talking about him possible MVP run for crying out loud. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely crazy. So, it's pretty crazy, but. We are also, if you guys are sticking tuned for the second half of the show, we're going to be giving away some T-Bones tickets. We're going to have 2 4 packs of tickets for the T-Bones in the second half of the show. We're going to be talking to Andy from High Heat Stats and in just a moment. And we're actually very excited to bring on at this point in time the Triple-A hitting coach for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. And former Kansas City A, Renee Latchman. How are you, sir, tonight?
I'm doing fine. Here's a beautiful day in Salt Lake City here. I'm getting ready another hour here to play the Salt Lake City Bees.
Now, it is a beautiful day because your team got 27 hits last night. Now, do they give the hitting coach an extra, you know, an extra couple of bucks in your paycheck, or they give you a cake or something for getting 27 hits in a game?
Well, I'm lucky to be around because prior to that, you were probably should have given me my pink slip because we hadn't been hitting very well at all. But no, yesterday was a big day for us. We got, close to a record for us, 25 runs and 27 hits, which, here in Salt Lake City is a very good hitter's ballpark. But it's been a long time coming. We've struggled this year really to go ahead and get the potential of these hitters going the way that I'd like to see them going.
Oh, that's great. Now, tell us a little bit about your time with the Kansas City Athletics. You were with the team from 65 to 66, and then you were with the Oakland A's later in your career. Tell us what you remember about your time with Kansas City.
Well, Kansas City, I enjoyed it. I was 19 years old when I got up there in 1965. We were with a group of six young players, and you know, I was fortunate to have Haywood Sullivan, who took over managing for Mel Gahey at that time, and put me in. I played half the season, it seemed like. The next year, it looked like I was going to go back, but they had a change of managers, and Alvin Dark had different ideas. But that year in 1965, there was a lot of great things that went, you know, being in the big leagues. I was a former BAPO with the Dodgers, so I'd been around big league people for a long time. I was there for 3 years with the Dodgers, and getting that experience and playing with the group that we played with Jim Landis and with Jim Gentile, and we had Doc Edwards, we had Diego Segui, who I just saw when I was in Boston for the 100th year anniversary with the Fenway Park. I saw Diego over there, and good to see him. And with Charlie Finley, you know, he was different than a lot of people thought, but I think if you want to sit back and look at it, that he put a lot of things in baseball that people don't really give him a lot of credit for. The night games for the World Series, the night All-Star game, and other things like that, colorful uniforms. But We sang to Charlie O the Mule. We sang, passed out buttons. We had Farmer's Day at the ballpark there, and at old Municipal Stadium. So it was something here I'll never forget and have great memories of it, although we lost 106 games.
Now, you talk about being colorful and kind of stepping outside the box, which is what Charlie Finley was known for. And of course, your time with the Florida Marlins from 93 to 96. What do you think about the new Miami Stadium? Have you had a chance to see it in person? And that's certainly a colorful stadium from what we have been able to see on television.
I based on it on television. Last year at the end of the season, I was invited back to close Joe Robbie Stadium because I was the first manager of the Marlins, and they took us over to see the ballpark. Again, it wasn't finished at the time, but the pictures that I saw and what it was going to be like, it looked like it was going to be a beautiful ballpark. And it's something that's a necessity down in Florida because at this time of the year, from now on till into September, late September, every afternoon you have showers and you have tremendous amount of delays of games and stuff like that. And with the roof, it was something definitely needed. I remember one year in August, we never took batting practice on outside because we had a tarp on so many all the time because it rained every afternoon. And you have the rain delays, which it takes away the fan base. And I think this should be a big help. From what I saw on television, it looks like a beautiful ballpark. And what I saw when I was down there, it should be very nice. It looks like it's very pitcher-friendly, though. It doesn't look like it's a hitter-friendly type ballpark that some of the other new ones are.
Renee. Oh, hang on just a second. We're bringing up Jeff's mic. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are.
Hi, Renee.
Yeah.
It's Jeff Logan with the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society.
Yeah.
You know, you say you might deserve a pink slip, but I don't think they pass out pink slips to guys with your kind of experience, you know.
I've got them before. I've been fired well, managing. I know what they'll, you know, oh, that old saying, well, we thank you for your job, but it's we're going to make a change. But anyways, that's...
One of my biggest questions is, what did the A's do to teach or where did we get all these catchers and managers and coaches to come out of just a short period of time of 13 seasons with you, like La Russa and Duncan and all the guys?
Well, Tony was in middle infielder, but Duncan and I were basically as catchers at the same time. And at that time, you know, it's something that you got to look and see the game. I know Doc Edwards coached and managed a little bit for a while there also, and some of the other catchers that were involved in the organization. And a lot of times catchers, because what you have to do, they end up being the guys that become managers and coaches because you're more involved with the game, the whole total game all around. And plus, a lot of us weren't very good hitters, so we realized we had to make a study to go ahead and find out how you're supposed to hit. And if you're catching, you're always trying to find out how these guys are not supposed to hit. So that was part of the learning process also. And you know, we had some good teachers there. We had, I had Gabby Hartnett, who was an outstanding man, was his coach when I was there, Hall of Famer. Luke Applin was there. We had Whitey Herzog, who was one of our coaches that was there for us. And so Haywood Sullivan, like I mentioned before, we had some great people there to help us along and to coach us during our playing days.
Well, you obviously had some great coaches to help you guys along because you don't produce that many great managers and coaches in the big leagues like that have come out of the A's system with Dick Williams and yourself and Dick Houser and La Russa, Lasorda, Billy Martin. I mean, it's just crazy how many guys played for the A's and went on to manage and Hall of Fame type guys.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, they should be, it's, but they used to talk about the A's just being a farm system for the Yankees and everything else, but there was a lot of great people that came out, and plus the fact that it was, you know, it's a great town. It still is a great town, and, you know, I know that they need to be maybe a little more competitive, but it's a great baseball town. It always has been, and because people will go ahead and support their baseball there. I lived in Independence for a little time I was there, and it was an entirely different situation from living back east or living on the West Coast where people in the Midwest, they are, you know, will come over and ask what they can do for you and not have their hand out finding out what you want to, what they want to get from you. So it's a totally different culture, and it's something that I really enjoyed going through.
Well, I always hate for people to retire, but we'd like to see you retire someday so you can come visit us. You know, we always try to get you out.
I'd love to. I just talked with Luke Krause the other day, and I know he's getting ready for a golf tournament or something they said they're going to have down there or something with the organization, and I told him and Chuck Dobson, I guess, are getting involved with something over there, and he said he was going back, and I told him, you know, I said, say hi to all the guys, Greeny and the rest of those guys, John Donaldson. I don't know if Sal Bando comes back at all, but, you know.
Sal's coming out this fall.
Good. Tell him I said hi, and, you know, it's one of these days, I'll take these shoes off, and we'll get back there during the summertime. And I got one more year on the field, and will give me 50 consecutive years, and I guess that and the 25 cents will get you a phone call. But it would be something to go ahead and look at.
Well, 50 years is pretty good.
Yeah, 50 consecutive years on the field, is my body can handle it. So the body's all right, but the travel in this league here is something different. I've never seen travel in the Coast League like they have here. But
well, speaking of the Coast League, we've just got another minute or two with Renee Latchman from he's currently with the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. You've been there for 5 years of the AAA Pacific Coast League. We would be remiss. We do spend an awful lot of time on this show talking about the Omaha Storm Chasers and AAA in general. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you a couple of names to watch maybe from your team as far as you know, facing up against the Storm Chasers later in the season, folks that you like.
Well, hopefully they won't be here because they'll be up in the big leagues. But we have a couple that are already in the big leagues, DJ LeMahieu and Matt McBride, who were both hitting over 300. Matt McBride's still here. DJ has gone up to the big leagues, and he might be coming back at that time. Tim Wheeler, who was a player of the year last year in the Texas League, is just coming back from a hamate surgery, and he should be starting to play another couple of days. So those are probably three guys that you might want to take a look for hitting-wise. And we have some pitchers that Drew Pomerantz, who's was in the trade for Ubaldo Jimenez last year with Cleveland, is here, and you know, he will probably be back there. But I know that we haven't looking forward to seeing the new ballpark there. Rosenblatt Stadium was always one of my favorites too, because I was in the American Association with Des Moines many years, and we always used to love going there. But I guess the new ballpark this year is very nice in Omaha.
Fantastic. Well, we can't thank you enough for being on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Congratulations on your 50 years next year, and try to get back to Kansas City and look us up.
Okay, thank you very much. Say, make sure you say hi to all them guys and tip one of those Bud Lights for Latchman, all right?
We'll do it. Renee Latchman, hitting coach for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, right here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'll be right back.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages. The Vault.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are log home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
Welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Chris Kammler, joined with our suite of excellent hosts, Jeff Logan, Jeff Herr, Michael Engel, and Troy Olson. I want to briefly tell you about Jay Catering, specializing in all of your corporate and business needs. You just call Jeff at 913-961-0929. He'll get you fixed up. If you need food, folks, if you got anything, party, catering deal, corporate deal, just if you need any kind of food, call Jay. He'll get you fixed up. I talked to him. I talked to you all during the mornings. You're like, I got all this catering deal and that catering deal. He's a busy guy, and he does good work. So give him a call, 913-961-0929. We are going to bring on right now Andy from HighHeatStats.com, and he is doing a pretty cool thing right now at HighHeatStats.com. They are putting together the Mount Rushmore for every major league team, and over the past week, if you've been reading our Twitter feed or our Facebook posts, we have been sending you there to try to get some votes for the current Mount Rushmore. Andy, how are you this evening?
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, fantastic. Thank you for joining us. How many of these have you done, and how many more do you have yet to do?
We've done about half. We've been going backwards in terms of the age of the franchises. So we're obviously back in the 60s expansion, and we've done about half of them so far.
Now, you mentioned on the blog post that this might be one of the more difficult ones, and I couldn't agree with you more, because one of my guys, Paul Splittorf, is at around the bottom of the voting, and I'm about ready to punch somebody in the face because I strongly agree that he should be on. Right now, who are your current top four for the Mount Rushmore for the Kansas City Royals?
Well, the obvious one is George Brett. He's basically been unanimous.
Yeah, he had like 24.5%, and you could only have 25% of the voting. So
right, I think there's one or two jokers who didn't vote for him for some reason, but they couldn't have been taking it too seriously. And after him, they've got Saberhagen, Frank White, and Quisenberry, which, to be honest, burns me a little bit because Kevin Apier is the best pitcher the team ever had by far, and he's fifth. So
yeah, and then Frank White kind of popped back up after you got some Kansas City votes in. Is that right?
Right. I mean, White is a guy who's not known very well outside of Kansas City, but the advantage of running it on this website, which is really looking at the statistical side of things, is they know he was a fantastic hitting second baseman for a second baseman and great on defense. And so I think he benefits there, and he probably benefits from your local audience as well.
And what particular criteria did you request folks to use, from a statistical face or just kind of a popularity contest?
You know, I didn't specify anything for just that reason. It was, you could put four guys up there, you put up there whoever you want. I didn't want to lead people any particular way, but the audience is a stats audience. We come from baseballreference.com, so it's definitely an audience that's thinking about stats all the time.
And you did have you had hitters and you had pitchers both ranked by their career wins above replacement. And like you said, Kevin Apier, who looks like he's going to be fifth, had the highest WAR of all of the pitchers, and yet he, again, gets overlooked. What do you think that is for a pitcher like Apier who, you know, when I was picking my Mount Rushmore, I had him off too. It was between he and Quisenberry, and I lean towards Quisenberry because of other criteria besides just the stats. But Apier, definitely one of my favorite pitchers, in 1993 was overlooked for the Cy Young Award despite having better stats, arguably, than the two guys who were voted ahead of him. So
I couldn't agree more. I read your post about it, and I can't argue with you choosing Quiz over Apier, but I have Apier down as the most underrated player of the 1990s. He just doesn't get a lot of respect, even though he was probably the third best pitcher of the decade. And I think you guys already know the reasons why he's so overlooked. I mean, the biggest one is no playoff appearances with Kansas City, right?
And
so,
he didn't have a lot of wins either. Didn't get a lot of run support a lot of those years.
He played on some absolutely dreadful teams. Yeah.
He's a pretty quiet guy, too.
And he's a quiet guy, you're right.
He's no Blackjack McDowell.
And I'll tell you this, too. When he finished up his career in the other places he went, with the Mets and the Angels, and he was with Oakland, too, for a piece, right? I think he got blasted when he was in the playoffs. If he had really excelled at the end of his career in the playoffs, people would remember his Kansas City time better than it was. It's not fair, but it's the truth.
Well, I think he lives on a ranch outside of Kansas City, so he probably doesn't care either way. I think that's all he does is work the fields, I've heard.
Yeah, Andy, I was kind of wondering, because your site is obviously very stats-oriented, but I think part of what made Frank White, with all the Kansas City people, kind of jump him up was just how so many people in Kansas City think that Frank White, along with George Brett, kind of embodies so much about Royals baseball. And you said he's not very well known outside of Kansas City. So if you were to take away George Brett just because he's the most well known, I mean, from a national perspective, who do you think most people would say kind of, I mean, we obviously have the votes here, but I mean, you think Brett Saberhagen, is he really the guy that kind of embodies Kansas City baseball besides George Brett to most people who aren't from around here?
I think so. And again, it's because he was there for their last playoff run. I think that obviously Mike Sweeney is the guy that any baseball fan has been paying attention for the last 20 years would think of, but sort of the more general population, they're going to go back to when they were in the playoffs and when they were winning the postseason awards and all that. And Saberhagen's the guy that's going to come to mind for sure. You know, Frank White, I think of, I compare White and Brett to another tandem you guys will know well, Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker. Trammell gets all the attention. Lou Whitaker was a really good baseball player. I mean, I think he's marginal Hall of Famer, which people think is crazy, but he was up there. And Frank White's the same way. He gets overshadowed because he had a really, really good teammate for many, many years, but he was something.
And another thing that I kind of noticed that I thought was interesting was just as far as when you look at the players available and then who, you know, gets a lot of the votes. And you look at someone like a Carlos Beltran, who, I mean, half the people who are baseball fans, more than half, are not even going to remember that he played for the Royals. But when you look back at his career and the 6 years that he had here, they were great years. And I'm kind of curious, you know, obviously nobody on the Royals top four vote getters, but did you have anybody probably on the younger teams you might have, but that kind of made any of these Mount Rushmores that maybe only had just a few years with the team, but for, you know, made an impact and people really for some reason latched onto them and really think they kind of embodied that specific team or town's baseball?
I would say the only guy who springs to mind who fits that category at all is David Wright. And he's obviously been there for several years with the Mets. But most people are saying, I'm voting for him on the assumption that he's going to do more in the next few years. But, you know, the Mets are the only other team that we've had that are like the Royals, where they've got Tom Seaver, and then after that, it's a mishmash of Strawberry and Gooden and Wright and a bunch of other people. There are no real standout candidates after the top one. And it's interesting that you brought up Beltran. He's probably the only player who's played for the team in the last 20 years who has a shot at making the Hall of Fame. He's actually pretty borderline for the Hall of Fame right now. You guys know how many players have played for the Royals ever who are in the Hall of Fame?
Somewhere like four, maybe five.
Only four. I'll give you a breath. Can you name the rest?
Harmon Killebrew, Gaylord Perry, and can't think of the other one. Cepeda.
You got it. Yeah.
Michael Engel, ladies Michael and gentlemen. Engel.
Yeah. How about Johnny Damon? He could be considered for the Hall of Fame.
Now, see, that's an interesting one because they are considering him for the Royals Hall of Fame, and then there is a whole tribe of folks that just absolutely want nothing to do with him that still call him a traitor and all that good stuff.
But he could get 3,000 hits.
That's why he didn't even have a blip on your voting there. So.
Damon will never make the Hall of Fame, even if he gets 3,000 hits. He'll be the first guy to get 3,000 hits and not make it. But he's not even going to get 3,000 hits. So.
We're talking with Andy from High Heat Stats. Go out to highheatstats.com. It is an absolutely phenomenal website. It is right up Michael Engel's alley because it's just got stats and WAR and BABIP and all that good stuff.
And why I like it over you know, like Fangraphs and your Baseball Reference are great for looking up stats if you know a specific player that you want to look at, so forth. But you know, High Heat Stats is you go there and there's just
It's a little more random human post where
it's kind of just, you know, here's some interesting stats that, you know, whoever found, or here's some interesting things about last night's games and stuff like that. So now, it's not something that you have to go necessarily dig in and look for. It's kind of provided for you.
I'm curious as to why you made reference to the phrase Mount Rushmore, because Mount Rushmore to me tends to be founding fathers and much more, you know, maybe non-statistically based. I'll bet you that's probably elicited some emotion from folks. I mean, I had Paul Splittorff on my Final Four and Mount Rushmore, and you know, he was an original Royal. He played in the very first minor league Royals organization game. You know, he was a great Hall of Fame sportscaster Hall of Fame pitcher for the Royals, and then obviously a great sportscaster. You know, so he to me would epitomize, you know, maybe somebody on a Mount Rushmore of a team. What other examples might you have of some other teams that have had kind of folks, dark horses, if you will, on the list?
Well, you know, you raise an interesting point. Splittorff, I think, is a great choice for all the reasons that you named. There is no wrong answer here. Incidentally, the Mount Rushmore idea came from, I think it was Buster Olney who first mentioned it on Twitter, and then one of the High Heat Stats writers, Graham Womack, picked that up and wrote a post about it, and I said, hey, let's make this team specific because there's so many choices. I wouldn't say we've seen any real dark horses. We haven't seen, again, that many sort of fan favorites beat out guys who didn't deserve it. But what we do see are a lot of people calling out, like you see on here, a lot of people calling out Steve Busby or Freddie Patek, or people who they remember for real specific feats or specific seasons or specific postseason hits or whatever, who they would like to put on there, but they're not going to put on there. So if you read a lot of the comments, you see, I didn't vote for this guy, but I was thinking about him. But in the end, they don't really get a lot of traction overall.
Okay, we're wrapping up here with Andy from High Heat Stats, and Andy was actually gracious enough to provide our second trivia question for us tonight, and I think it's a pretty good one. So I'll let you go ahead and say it, Andy, and the winner you can call in and get T-Bones tickets for is it tomorrow night? Right?
Tomorrow night's tomorrow game. Night. You can get one of 2 4 packs. Call us at 913-491-8255 with the answer to Andy's question. Go ahead, Andy.
Thanks. So this is the kind of question that really tells you what High Heat Stats is all about. You can follow us on Twitter at High Heat Stats and get more of this stuff. Here we go. One quick indicator of how much a guy is helping his team win is how often he gets on base at least twice in a game. Question is, which Royals player had the season with the most games where he got on base at least twice?
So most games at least twice. What player in Kansas City Royals history got on base at least twice in a game the most times, I guess, if I can repeat
right.
that three
you
or four
it.
Ways. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. And if you have an answer to that, call us at 913-491-8255. In the meantime, go out to highheatstats.com and read Andy and all the other guys. And I guess voting is ended on the Mount Rushmore. But you're going to have many more Mount Rushmores to read on. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We will be right back after this.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Hi, everyone. Along with Balls Twitter, Steve Busby. Glad to have you along. And boy, what a way to start off a tough road trip.
The Vault.
Hey, Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No, I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find The Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkaufman.com or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch The Royalman Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
Joseph.
I like it. Welcome back to the Royal Man. This is the Royal Man Report. This is what show are we doing? God, dog.
Oh, this isn't the Royal Man Report. Welcome back to the KC Baseball Vault.
Welcome back to the KC Baseball Vault. Go ahead, Troy.
Well, other things that we were confused about was the Royals Media Guide is where we pulled that question, and they didn't recognize Randy Johnson as one of the four because he had tied, apparently, is why they didn't recognize it, because he was tied with Schilling.
Yeah, we'll take care of him, though. That's all right.
That answer did come in from one person, and that was Casey Pop Flyboy. He can't go Saturday anyway, so it's all good, but he just wanted to be recognized for getting it right. Along with that, on Twitter also, we were corrected by good friend of ours, Royal underscore Heritage, who's Aaron Stilley, and PSA Prez, who's a good friend of ours, who actually is the one that did our logos, and all those folks actually can't go Saturday, otherwise we probably would have hooked them up as well. But none of them can go, and so we did want to correct that. Also, a big thank you goes out to PSA Prez for our logos. But additionally, follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault and at Royal Man Report. We're going to be advertising starting Monday that we're going to make some shirts up to honor Danny Duffy leaving Twitter. It was a whole mess. You can go to ramblingmorons.com and check out what that was all about. But we're going to do some shirts based on it. They're going to be $12.
One of his big logos was Bury Me a Royal, and That was his big hashtag. And so I think we made some
shirts.
That's
going to be on there.
PSA.
Our logo is along with the company that PSA Prez works for. But stay tuned. We're going to get all the details on that. We should have a page up by Monday, is what Prez is telling me. So we'll wait in here. But definitely follow him on Twitter as well at PSA Prez, PREZ. So that's that.
We're going to continue the conversation about the Mount Rushmore of the Royals here in just a second. But we don't have a trivia question answer yet. Now, those of you folks who have been messaging me and saying you wanted a Twitter way to win some tickets, I think this might be a good opportunity to do that. So we're going to put this question out on Twitter, and the first two people to respond back to KC Baseball Vault, we'll give Shane a break from answering phones for 5 minutes. So at one point in time, I saw his arms cross and go in all different directions. That was pretty cool. But we'll put that question out on the Twitter, and we'll go from there. Now, on my Mount Rushmore, I had George Brett, Frank White, Paul Spieldorf, and Bo Jackson, simply because, now it's maybe non-standard, it's completely not from a statistical base, but I would think if you look at the four pillars of the organization, I think certainly those three, and then Bo Jackson just because I think he's really cool. And he was probably the biggest superstar of the show, of the Royals.
And I'm with you there. And I took, we were talking about this earlier, and Michael Engel brought up a lot of crazy stats about Dan Quisenberry, how he was in, you know, MVP votes, got 5 different years. He was Cy Young votes 5 years. And he was, which I didn't really realize, but mine would probably be pretty similar to the one that actually from High Heat Stats came about. But I'd have Brett, Saberhagen, and Frank White. And I think I would probably go with Kevin Apier because he was probably the best pitcher that was around, best Royals player for the most part, with the possible exception of Mike Sweeney when I was growing up. So that's probably who I would go with. I mean, what do you, Jeff, what do you
got? Mine's probably a little more bizarre. You know, I think I had Buddy Biancolana on there, Pat Sheridan.
Just because he was on David Letterman.
Yeah, Dave Wickersham. Let's see, who would be my fourth guy? I'm sure I could come up with another great one. Pete LeCocq. What a great
LeCocq
name.
Another great follow on Twitter, which is another topic for another day.
You know, the great question or answer or trivia for that is Peter Marshall. Was his father.
That was his father, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, so anyone has a dad who does the Hollywood Squares, that's pretty good stuff.
All right, D.B. Lesky is no longer allowed to answer questions because he got that one right, too. You're not going to the T-Bones and the Royals, all right?
If you follow D.B. Lesky, he's got the answer. He shortened his name, but he's got the answer. So if you want to go, look at D.B. Lesky. He's Lesky.
Troy, who was on your Mount Rushmore?
My Mount Rushmore was
Gerard Dyson.
Yes, Gerard Dyson, who we're going to talk about here in a minute if we have time. I lost it here. I'm sorry. George Brett, of course, just because he's Brett, he's a Hall of Famer. Regardless of anything else, he is the number one Royal. I also had Frank White. I had Bo Jackson because in my lifetime, Bo Jackson is by far the most incredible player that was in my lifetime. Frank White is my favorite Royal. George Brett's the best Royal. And then Spieldorf, and I can't believe that Spieldorf had 1% when I checked at 2 o'clock.
Beside myself,
2% after I said that, and a bunch of people retweeted that. That just upsets me to no end because Splitty was such an important part of this team, and Split, I mean, he was a Royal.
Not only as a player, and slamming papers down.
There it is.
There's your
rant. Not only as a player, but I mean, you know, as a broadcaster, and he literally began the organization. He threw the first pitch in the very first Royals organization game. So
Y2 Kansas just brought up a good point, and I didn't even think about this, but a Royals Mount Rushmore would be incomplete without Mr. K. Yeah. But they were sticking it to just the players, but so he was never a player, and they were just doing players. But yes,
that's true. No,
I think I can agree with you on that one.
Absolutely. And you know, you just look at who you have statues of out in center field, and you know, you're going to get a lot of that. So, well, that's very awesome. Yeah, no, I think it's a good debate. Go out to highheatstats.com. It is certainly a great website. We also want to thank Renee Latchman for calling us before his game. I mean, we had to kind of move around his batting practice. Also want a big shout out to who won the trivia, D.B. Lesky, and then we're still looking for folks at KC Baseball Vault on Twitter, and also our sponsors, Jay Catering, Senior Healthcare Specialist, the Kansas City T-Bones, Kermsey Construction, and all the guys from the Royal Man Report. Join us every Thursday right here at ESPN 1510. On June 21st, we're going to have Danny Jackson, Greg Pryor, and
in studio.
And come on out this weekend, A's reunion weekend. Thanks a lot.
Go Royals.
KCTE, Independence, Kansas City. This is ESPN 1510.